I just made Jamie's day. His first question was, can I curse?
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome, one and all, to the Webcomic Beacon, episode 154. This is the newscast for January 9th, 2011. I am your host, Ross Scott, of The System, which can be found at systemcomic.com. That's right, systemcomic.com. Comics will be posted till morale improves. With me today on the show, of course, once again, is the lovely, the voluptuous, the other wonderful things. The Heberlingist Alex I know. Alex Heberling. Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Hi. AlexisGuide.net. Thank you, Ross.
My very pleasure. And also with us today, borrowed from the other podcasts, and with us once again, the man with the golden voice, the one, the only, Mark Savory of Autumn Lake. Hey, Mark.
Well, hello. I'm not voluptuous, but I do have a damn fine voice.
Are you sure you're not a homeless man who's been given a job? Is that...
Coming up next on Magic 98!
Awesome.
And Outback to Family Guy on Fox 23.
That guy's already got a mac and cheese commercial. I don't know how he did it. But yeah, anyway.
I only wish the best things for Ted Williams.
Me too. Also with us this week, a special guest.
Because now he can take his spot on the corner and try to make some money.
Right. Speaking of taking spots on the corner.
I could take his spot on the homeless corner and try to make some
angry Zen,
money.
It's the angry Zen master himself, Jamie Noguchi.
Hello.
Jamie,
how's it going?
By the way, is the writer of, how far in is your comic now? A year?
A year in February. So, yeah, pretty close.
The almost 1 year in Yellow Peril, which can be found at
ypcomic.com.
ypcomic.com. Yeah, be sure to check it out. It is awesomes. And there was a boobs to the face tackle attack last week, which made me happy. You got to normally pay extra for that kind of thing. Also with us today, of course, keeping everything running smoothly, I can't go without mentioning the one, the only, Fess Works. Hey, Fess.
I'm not here.
He's not here. And before I forget, I have to give it up for the man that gets a lot of the drudge work done behind the scenes, Eric of Exern.com, EXIERN.com, for refining a lot of the news articles that we're going to be covering today. Speaking of news articles, it is time to launch in. So we're going to start today with Google has... come out saying that they are going to be working on a manga viewer in conjunction with Jay Kami, who has previously announced a bunch of other things. So basically another e-reader thing. We've heard about a lot of them lately. I feel like we cover at least two a week these days. And this time, though, from Google, I got to say, if Google's taking it on, and if it's anywhere as good as Google Maps is for just, you know, general perusal, I think it's going to be worth a damn. What do you guys think?
It'll probably be HTML5 and not Flash, so that's good.
Very true. It might only work in Chrome, though.
Oh, that'd be terrible. I do have to say, this article is found at bleedingcool.com.
Oh, thank you. Yes. This is from, of course, bleedingcool.com. Thank you.
Do you ever notice how many things Google gets into that never pan out? Whether it's the phone or the Google TV or whatever it is.
Okay, you can't say the phone. They're kind of everywhere with the phone. But
well, the first phone was kind of a dud.
Right. Well, they got to start somewhere. But yeah, like Jamie said, the Wave, I mean, is a perfect example of something that, you know, could be cool. Because they give them so much freedom within Google to work on things. That's like, hey, three guys at Google want to make a manga reader? Why not? And then if they can actually make the translation stuff that powers, say, Google Goggles, or Google Translate, if they can integrate that into the manga reader, then they might actually beat out all the like fan subs.
That would be cool. Could, but will it rearrange the panel order from left to right?
Right.
And is it a pay thing? Like, am I gonna have to pay to read the mangas?
Well, as of right now, it's just been barely announced. So
because if you have to pay for it, that's not gonna stop the fansubbers.
Right, right. The minute you charge a cent, fansubbers will sprout out.
Oh.
Out of laziness and inability to charge a cent.
Those cheap bastards.
Bastards. Which moves us on to Apple iTunes releases a Photoshop-like product for the iPad.
Haven't they been doing that, though?
Yeah, there are so many. This one, this article, by the way, is from the Daily Cartoonist, posted by Alan Gardner. Thanks to him. It talks about really the new Apple App Store. And that whole new thing for those.
Oh, the Mac Store thing.
Yeah, and it's basically a review of what's new on it for drawing on the Mac. And the answer is not much, or not much that's very extensive. There's some cool sketch programs. You've got your Sketchbook Pro kind of things, but not much else as of right now.
Yeah.
What do you guys?
The one that just got released.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was that, Alex?
I was going to add in the one that is in the article is actually a vector program, specifically.
Oh, yeah, Sketch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is $50. Now, $50 sounds like a lot of money, but when you compare that to the standard of Photoshop, $50 ain't so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamie, you've been experimenting with a lot of different types of programs to do your artwork in. I know you've touched on Manga Studio and some others.
Yeah. I don't know, like the further away you get from Photoshop, the more you see other programs trying to emulate it. I think Sketchbook is one of the few programs that I would consider like using as a mainstay. But that's the desktop version. I haven't messed around with the iPad version that much. And it's a lot more affordable than Photoshop is. But I don't know, like, once you have Photoshop, it's kind of like it does everything you need it to do. So, I mean, I don't know.
Okay, who's doing the dishes?
Oh, that's Audrey. Sorry.
Like
for a minute, I thought someone had flushed the loo, you know? No, it's pots and pans.
Guys, I'm recording this entire episode while pooping.
Hold on, I can move into the other room.
Well, okay.
Yeah, Jason. Oh, you take this show seriously, okay? it's sad how many laughs that gets.
Yeah.
So here's the real question, I guess. Let's look three steps ahead for a second. Okay, the App Store is growing in popularity. Tablets are growing in popularity. Adobe and Apple are in the middle of a, you know, snit fit. And you know, where does that leave people? What do you think's coming? I mean, right now, like there's Sketchbook and Sketch and that, but, do you think that in the future, I mean, someone might go ahead and beat at Photoshop their own game? Offer something cheaper or make something available that artists will actually go to?
Well, there's a lot cheaper. And people have always been saying, oh, you should do the GIMP. The GIMP is awesome. The GIMP does everything that Photoshop does. But I mean, I think Adobe's always going to be around. They might decide to abandon the platform, Mac OS, which would be sad. But I mean, we've heard rumors about that since 10.5.6 came out. So I don't know. I mean, I hope that that's not the case, but it might happen.
Well, there's already a lot of everything from free, like GIMP and what, Inkscape, all the way up to actual rivals of Photoshop, I guess. But for your average webcomicer who doesn't have a lot of money, maybe just starting out, you've got the manga program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's like, what, $20, $40? I mean, that's a pretty good deal. There's a lot of good stuff in it. What's the actual name of it? It escaped
Manga Studio.
Manga Studio.
Manga Studio, thank you.
Yeah.
And there's lots and lots more things out there. Art Rage and
Mike Delheim points out in the chat room that there's always paint.
There is always paint. I was about to say that.
No, paint is the Comic Sans of webcomicking. We don't paint.
Exactly. Even though we all know it's bad, it will never go away.
I will say that
it is with Comic Sans.
Yeah, I will say that the drawing tools in Manga Studio are actually a lot better than Photoshop's brush, the default brushes. Like, you have to tweak the defaults in Photoshop to get them just right, whereas Manga Studio kind of, if you want a natural pen-like feel, I think Manga Studio is probably the closest you're going to get to actually using a brush or a pen. So, I mean, it's a lot more affordable, and if you're just talking black and white line art and tones, I think Manga Studio is definitely a more attractive choice.
Nice. All right. Speaking of quality in comics, that brings us to our first discussion point. Quick poll, if I may. Who here has read The Oatmeal?
I've read a few.
I've read some of them.
Okay. Jamie, have you ever read The Oatmeal?
Yeah.
All right. So The Oatmeal was recently covered, profiled in the online edition of The Economist by a guy named Glenn Fleischman, and was then mentioned briefly on The Daily Cartoonist. Now, here as
well. Hooray, Daily Cartoonist.
The minute you mention something briefly on The Daily Cartoonist, all hell breaks loose. So.
totally awesome.
Over at The Daily Cartoonist, a lot of cartoonists were saying, oh, well, this is great. Okay, good for them. Oh, well, it's not quite this, or I didn't know he had this many readers or whatever. And then, by the way, they're currently making, according to the Economist article, the guy is making, quote, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and, quote, and has, quote, 3 to 4.5 million viewers a month.
Bullshit.
So you feel bad about yourself.
So I call bullshit.
Yeah, the tone of this article is just like such a rock star comics websites. Yeah,
The Oatmeal is making that. That is, they should be ashamed if it's true. That's like those fucking Cyanide and Happiness bastards.
Well, they're
What's that?
Oh, the article is clearly not written for anyone who's ever read a comic.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's not their audience. I mean. Have you seen The Economist? I mean, it's just
they don't have a sense of humor. Look at the economy.
Yeah.
This is less to do with the economy than you think. But no. Well, here's the fun part. So, over on the Daily Cartoonist thread, Scott Kurtz decided to weigh in, saying, "quote He's not a cartoonist. The Oatmeal is not a webcomic. To use those terms to describe what he's doing is misleading, in my opinion." Wow.
Well, he at least said in his opinion.
This is true.
Right.
He did use his opinion, which is a step forward, I think, for Scott Kurtz. But
and then the thread count went up dramatically.
And then the thread count.
Yeah, that was comment number 16.
Like Egyptian cotton.
And yeah. Now there's almost 100.
You know what I think? I think he doesn't care one way or the other. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I think he's just out for some free advertising. He knows if he can stir the pot, it's, you know, insta traffic for PvP.
Mm. Actually, I have word that honestly he just he speaks what he feels and that's what it is. I don't think he has ulterior motives when he does stuff. He just kind of. Like me, I open my mouth when I probably shouldn't sometimes. But
so he has comic Asperger's becomes, or something.
So then it becomes comic. So let's move on because that's not really the key. I mean,
we could
go on about that, but let's not. So then he goes on and he has this argument. I mean, anyone these days with a sense of humor and the ability to draw stick figures can call themselves a cartoonist. The word is losing its meaning. And here's my favorite part, the author of the article chimes in on the thread, gets in there and starts arguing. It is great.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was
someone who doesn't know shit about comics trying to argue about comics.
Well, but okay. So we're all a little familiar with The Oatmeal. Does anyone have a problem calling it a comic or calling him a cartoonist?
Well, technically, I mean,
His art could use some work, but I mean, the shit is
funny.
But
his art could use some work.
That's everybody.
My art could use some work.
I mean, you could say, you know, Milton Caniff's, I think it's Milton Caniff's, Ms. Peach. It looks horrible. It's all scribbles. But it's a comic.
It's a comic, you know, yeah.
The style doesn't necessarily matter, does it? It's sequential art with a punchline.
Well, yeah. Okay, that point I feel like can be argued. In fact, feel free to argue it over at the comment thread here on Ustream or wherever else we are in the Webcomic Beacon. But here's the real thing. So the argument that Scott Kurtz is making, I mean, he's just kind of curmudgeonly, and he admits this in the thread to his credit. But the point that he's making is that the oatmeal has become so popular not because it is like particularly good or great, but the guy knows how to hit on SEO, which is very true, and knows how to get people to share it and get people to click on it and get people to buy it.
So Kurtz is complaining that he's popular because he released what is essentially like a comic sex tape, you know? Like
it is. It's totally a comic sex tape.
You know, who cares? I mean, he gamed the system, and he's popular as shit, but it's a fucking comic. I mean, just because you know how to manipulate SEO or do that kind of thing doesn't negate the fact that you're doing comics.
Word. Right. I mean, how is this he's saying it's not a comic, he's not a cartoonist. How is this different from Dinosaur Comics by Ryan North, who uses nothing but clip art?
He's
a writer,
I mean,
though.
That's the thing. It looks better.
Because, well, better in the sense that it is more like someone actually doing their own work. I mean, Ryan North's a very smart man. He produces very good content, but you know, he is copying pasting artwork that he once drew originally. But you know, the oatmeal is drawn every time new by this guy, you know? So
yeah,
I got to correct you. Actually, the art he's using is from a very old computer program that I guess is public domain now.
You're talking Ryan North.
Yeah, he didn't draw those. I would also like to just chime in and just say this. Sorry. This goes to my basic argument that anybody can create art and they can do that and all that sort of thing. Art is very subjective. There are objective aspects of creating art, but art in and of itself is subjective. But of course, you have to mean to make it to be art as well, versus it being a job, versus making a design.
I took like 3 or 4 different courses in school about defining the meaning of art and what is art and what is not and all that sort of thing. So.
No, just because he's just because he is technically making a comic, just because he may technically be making art, doesn't mean that it's good. And it doesn't mean that it should be promoted as such. That's all I wanted to say.
It's bad either. It's funny.
But the real issue on the thread is that Scott Kurtz doesn't want to label him a cartoonist because he doesn't want to share the cartoonist with him.
Okay? I think he's just mad that this guy figured out how to market stuff better than
Scott may have come up with. So attention webcomic people of the universe, go and check out wait. Go and check out the oatmeal, see what they're doing right and see how they're doing it and look behind the scenes of that because there is a lot of smart things going on that website in terms of how he sets it up. There's some dumb things too, but you know, no one's perfect. But here's the real thing. He doesn't want to share the term cartoonist, okay? Now here's my soapbox for a minute. If he doesn't want to share the term cartoonist, I don't particularly want to share the term cartoonist with him because, you know, that's just like you can't make that distinction. Jamie, sorry, I've decided you're not a cartoonist.
Get off my lawn, you bastard.
Get off my lawn. The entire thing reads as get off my lawn. Oh my
God. It does. He's old and curmudgeon-y and needs to get over himself.
See what bothers me? I gotta say it. What bothers me is how Scott Kurtz will 1 minute be like, hey, we are web cartoonists. I represent web cartooning. I represent the digital, all of that stuff. And says it in a, like, on behalf of everyone sort of way 1 minute. And then the next minute goes and does something like this. And I'm sorry, but once you put on the hat of everybody and I represent everybody or I am, like, a microcosm of what's out there, you can't take that hat off.
But I don't agree with that either.
So then you go and do something like this, it makes us all look stupid.
Well...
On the webcomic beacon.
The thing from the beginning is I don't necessarily want someone like Scott Kurtz trying to represent me.
I really don't.
And I just have to say, every individual on the webcomic beacon does speak for themselves and not for the webcomic beacon as a whole, nor for the webcomic community as a whole, but for themselves.
From this point forward.
No, it's always been that way.
Opinions expressed by the Webcomic Beacon do not necessarily reflect the opinions of...
You don't see President Obama going on a forum and starting a flame war. You know? Once you've got a role of any sort of role of like authority or being given that level of like stature, you can't do that kind of little shit anymore. You just can't.
You're either an advocate or you're in the trenches being an asshole with everyone else. You can't have it both ways.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is
exactly. Pull this whole genre over if you don't behave. The side of the road. If you don't smarten up back there, don't damn. Do it.
All right. And with that, we have to move on. If anyone would like to take this up with or take submerge to any of this, feel free to join us on the webcomicbeacon.com or ever on Ustream, or I'm pretty sure we're all on Twitter. Yeah, feel free to argue with me on Twitter. I would love to do that. All right. Let's move on to the next article. So, this one comes from via a Google search because it's CES time once again. And
right.
The, consumer electronics S. What's the S?
Show.
Show.
I like to think it stands for spectacular.
The Consumer Electronics Spectacular.
Yes.
Has a ton of new products that pretty much all are trying to catch up on the whole tablet craze. So there's a lot of articles that are mentioned, PC World, CNN.com, and CIO.com. But pretty much it's a breakdown of all the tablets. Now, we shared these lists with the panelists for the show, and thanks again to Eric from Mexern for putting this list together. But did anything stand out to you guys? I mean, any particular tablet news that
I saw a great I saw a great headline. I think it was on CNN. It said lots of tablets at CES, but we're not allowed to touch any of them. Like that. It's, why can't we touch them? You know, it's like they're all just sort of what do they call it? Beta products or something like that. They're there for
prototypes
show,
you know? Or whatever.
It's because the tablets are the sex tape of the CES show. You're not allowed to.
Look, but don't touch.
There is no tablet in the champagne room. There is no touch screen.
I think it'll be interesting this year. I think we'll see a lot more tablet devices, but for developers, it sucks because.
Well, that's next. Right.
Yeah,
because
like there's no standard. Like if you're developing something for Android, you have to deal with like 20 different handsets that display things differently. So on the one hand, it's easy to develop for these things, but on the other hand, it sucks because you have to like, it's like doing web design. Like, are they going to be watching it on this side screen? Are they going to be watching on this side screen? Are they going to be able to do this with it? So I don't know.
I think a lot of these are going to wind up being vaporware because, like you say, it's the new big thing. So everybody's, you know, they're all out to copy. It's like the Matrix. You know, you have the Matrix and it's a big hit, so you have like 50 Matrix clones out there.
Yeah.
And most of them aren't very good. And I think you'll see the same thing with these. It's everybody has to make a tablet now. Even if they're not in the tablet business, they're going to try to make a tablet. And a lot of those are going to get shaken out. You're going to have your iPad, and you might have maybe one or two others, like your Kindle and your Nook. And that's going to be what happens with it. So it's just a question of which one is the VHS tape, right? And which one's the Betamax.
Yeah, if the porn industry latches on to a tablet device, that's the one that's
going
to win.
That's going to be the decider.
This touch
that's the one with the built-in
so
windshield
soft.
Wipe.
Run your hands over my touchscreen.
Ooh. Mark, your voice makes everything sound sexy.
Find the power button. Find the power button.
And with that, we'll move on. Okay, Kotaku, via Baranek on Twitter, at Baranek, sent a link over to an article on Kotaku saying pretty much selling comics on the iPad, you're doing it wrong. basically ripping apart the, eviscerating, if you will, the economy of selling comics on the iPad and their ability to well, be usable as apps. So
there's something that the article didn't mention, and this happened a couple of weeks ago. There was a Thor issue that was released a little bit early on the online version or on the app version. And Marvel was like, oh, shit, we screwed up. All right, we're going to zap this. So everyone who bought that issue couldn't view it on their stupid app because they were able to kill it. And that says a lot more about selling comics on the app than it does about the pricing, because it means that the content providers, once you buy the thing, they can stop you from reading it. It's like renting a comic that you can't have access to. That's bullshit.
Well, this kind of problem has already been happening with the Amazon Kindle, and Amazon's been actually, like, I mean, it's new territory in a lot of ways. So Amazon had a lot of problems, but they've since had really good PR for dealing with them. But yeah, it's Marvel does not have that, basically.
No. I mean, if you buy a comic, you should be able to read the fucking comic. So what that they got it early? But if you can't do that, I mean, you're just pissing your money away. It irritates the shit out of me.
Well, that's the whole problem with this whole, you know, digital frontier is who actually owns and controls the content. If I go down to the comic book shop and buy a comic and take it home and, oops, they put it out a week early or whatever, I still have the damn comic.
Too fucking bad for them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they make some interesting points in the article about pricing. I mean, if you go down to the comic book store, you're paying $3. And right now online, you're paying $2. And what this article is saying, amongst many other things, is why aren't you selling it for $1? Why aren't you doing what MP3 is doing? If you buy the whole collection together instead of individually, you get a discount. Why do I have to, you know, like divide that up? Why can't I buy them the all in bulk? You know, a lot of those little details that make the digital experience have advantages to the physical experience, and they're not using any of them.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, there is no substitution for the physical experience.
Oh, are we back to the porn thing again?
Nice.
Hit the power button. Ooh, touch my dongle.
Oh.
And with that,
good night, folks. Good night.
Good night. Via Comics Beat, we have an article that's actually on comicsworthreading.com. Webcomic business wisdom from three smart women. There it is. They have, now I couldn't tell. Was this snippets from,
yeah, these are older posts. Some of them are older posts. Cause I'd seen, the Colleen Doran one a while ago. So
yeah. And they're kind of put together. Basically it's three, women webtoonists. You've got Dorothy Gambrell of Cat and Girl, Meredith Gran of Octopus Pie, and Colleen Doran of, help me
out. A Distant Soil. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. All with some business advice and all little tidbits that I think are actually pretty helpful stuff. Anything, I guess when I read this, my biggest thing was, why was this have to be from three women? Like, why was that point made? I mean, these have nothing to do with that statistic. Like, if it was, if it was three guys, you wouldn't write like webcomic business wisdom from three men.
Well, the thing is, like, I think women are still viewed as a underrepresented minority in comics creation, right, and entertainment in general. And so I think until we get to a point where we don't have to preface things like, you know, three women creators or three Asian creators or three black creators, I think until we get to that point, you're always going to have those qualifiers. I mean, I don't think it's right, but it's going to take us a while to get to that point, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, did any of the really the tidbits that they talk about stand out to you guys reading through them? I mean, I think it's interesting to note that Meredith Gran, after going with the big publisher deal for her most recent book, has decided to go back to the self-publish. Interesting to note that she wants that level of control again.
Control freak.
It probably makes more money.
Colleen Doran is just sort of an amazing sort of figure anyway. I've been reading the back posts of her blog for the last like few months, and I always go away from it feeling really bad about how unproductive I am. She's been doing this since she was 12, seriously. Yeah. That's when she first got published. And so, I mean, all of her advice is definitely worth looking into and listening to and following.
By the way, I thought it was really interesting, the cat and girl one about update schedule. I could not agree more. I experienced the same thing. I went from 5 days a week to 3 days a week. No difference in traffic. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, you had already snagged him there, though.
Right. Well, and she already has snagged hers. But, you know, I think once you get going like that, you're allowed to kind of loosen up.
Right,
and
right.
You can get away with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we get to another article via Bleeding Cool, via the Society pages, which is about gender-bending comic book images in the name of equality. Did you guys see these this artwork?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's Alex, would you like to maybe describe kind of what you're seeing?
Well, we should point out that this is these are drawn by friend of the webcomic Beacon, Megan Rose Gedris, mm-hmm. of Lesbian Pirates. Mm. And so what we've got here is a bunch of graphic novel images wherein, you know, women are typically objectified and sexied up and stuff like that. And so Megan redrew them with the females as males, but still having the same ladylike costumes and stuff like that.
And
so
bulges.
It's pretty.
I love the Diva one. That one's awesome.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
The Marvel Divas. That one's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. There's some sick bulges in there. It's a little bad.
Man, the Star Sapphires. Ugh.
This really makes an incredible point, I think.
And that point is?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the superhero women really are. They're like Victoria's Secret model things, you know? They're all sort of, you know, sexed up in such a way that it's kind of ridiculous. I think Power Girl's a pretty good example. She's probably the penultimate example of a female character that really she's just known for her boobs, which is all great and good, but I thought her powers were something else, but maybe that's another superpower.
She's Supergirl from an alternate universe or something like that.
Yeah.
Her
power is giant boobs. You know, it seems it's almost a cliche. Almost a cliche. So, it does make a good point. If you had male superheroes that sexed up, it'd be kind of ridiculous. How could they fight crime and supervillains and aliens and stuff?
Yeah.
If they're all dressed in skimpy butt cheek riding outfits. I mean,
well, I guess what I noticed looking at this was
I'm invulnerable to chafing.
For
that would be a great superpower.
For kind of male stereotype of superheroes, you have, you know, two maybe three body types. You've got the like big and stocky. You've got the tall and lanky. Maybe you got like some sort of in between. But you got like three kind of general go-to for guys. Girls, you got one.
She's got to bring the cannons.
The cannons.
No, we don't mean the guns.
Well, you know.
The cannonballs.
Some of these comic book art that I've seen of women is just so ridiculous. I can't even describe it. It's cartoonish in a way. Like I'm just looking at this now, with the what do they call this one? The Girls of Marvel or what did you say it was?
Marvel Divas.
The Divas. Yeah, that was terrible.
It's just patently ridiculous and physically impossible.
Scott Campbell is kind of known for that ultra cheesecake style.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Camel toe-tastic.
I suppose it can work the other way, where they try to make a strong female character, but they go overboard and make her a man with breasts. You know, like she's she plays poker and smokes cigars and can beat up someone five times her size, and all the men around her are afraid of her.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You see it on TV all the time.
Like the typical reverse stereotype.
Yeah, yeah. Like major of what's her face on Claudia Christian on Babylon.
Oh, Susan Ivanova.
Yeah, you know, that's just like flipping it on its head the other way into negativity of the I know there's a lot of fans out there of
yeah, Susan had some issues.
Yeah,
I just finished watching that series.
That character just struck me, you know, it's just going too far the other way. You can make a strong female character without going that direction.
Right.
But I guess.
of examples, guys are allowed to just be guys, and girls have to be this sexy object, you know? Girls aren't allowed to just be a girl with superpowers. They have to be a girl with superpowers who's really sexy.
Who dresses like a stripper.
Who dresses like a stripper.
They're like, I mean, it's not practical. Star Sapphire, come on. They're going to fall out.
This those costumes practical. Are terrible.
Oh, the 70s.
Oh, the 70s.
Oh, the right nows. The Star Sapphires are still going.
Right. But I'm pretty sure that costume like dates back pretty far, right?
I think that one does.
Slightly updated, but right. Well, okay. All right. Some things quickly mentioned in brief. Comixology has hit 1 million downloads via this information via Comics Beat. Have you guys ever used Comixology, by the way, while we mentioned?
No.
I've looked at it, but I haven't had time.
All right. So apparently they've sold 1 million, but none to us.
Nope.
and also, while we're on the subject of Comixology, skipping around a little bit, they have released the list of their top 10 paid downloads, and that list includes Wanted, Kick-Ass, Wanted, Walking Dead, Wanted, 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 Kick-Ass, Walking Dead, and Kick-Ass.
Nice.
That you could almost say it's Kick-Ass.
Yeah. In the top 10 series, by the way, that was the list of top 10 paid comics individual issues. I took out the issue numbers there, but... the top 10 paid comics by unique series, it's similar. You've got Chew mixed in there, which is awesome if you guys haven't read. Grim Fairy Tales, Return to Wonderland, The Pro, added in there. Top 10 series, though, top 3, Walking Dead, Kick-Ass, Wanted. So do you think it's a connection that those are the ones currently in other media?
I think that has a lot to do. I bet if you looked far back enough to Watchmen, you'd see the same thing.
You know, Kick-Ass wasn't anything. What's that, Jamie?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, Kick-Ass was a known property for like hardcore comic book fans, but it didn't get wide popularity until the movie. I think same with Walking Dead. So, and I think the people who buy apps are not necessarily comic book geeks. So I definitely think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the comic book geeks, I think they're pretty set in their ways. They like going to the comic book store. They like getting the weekly issue. They like getting it delivered. They like what they've got going. The audience here is clearly – I think this is a great example of the fact that, this is clearly a different audience. This is the people who heard about it. They've got their iPad. They've got their iPhone. They've got whatever, and they've figured, well, I'll buy it since I've heard so much about this movie, this – TV show.
I think this is the equivalent of the Wii. Tapping other people that are not actually in the market to begin with.
Yeah.
Because if these are mostly not usual comic book readers, this has a lot of potential to even get back into the regular comic book readers. There's still untapped market potential here.
Yeah. Because if these were hardcore comic book people, you know, you'd be seeing some, like, Silver Age, Golden Age stuff, like the original Miracle Man stuff, if anyone had translated it into a digital version. You'd see some, like, real classic comics that no one can get anymore, so.
Right. Yeah, that was – well, that actually came up in the Kotaku article we talked about previously, that where are the old comics in this stuff? They've got all this new comic stuff, but they're not putting in the old ones. You know, put out some 1950s, put out some – 1960s, put out some craziness that you can't get in print. Use the medium in a way that they're not using it to post that huge archive.
Absolutely. You know?
And they're just not doing it. All right. Mention in brief, Comic Riffs, the Washington Post blog has posted the 2011 Riffy Awards. They're currently they took nominations via a completely subjective process of please post it in the comments, which quickly became a popularity contest.
Big surprise.
Now the best comics in the medium have been announced. The finalists for the 2011 Riffy Award are Cul-de-sac, Dilbert, Doonesbury, Jesus and Mo, Pearls Before Swine, and XKCD. One of those things is not like the other. Does anyone want to guess which it is?
XKCD is the only one spelled out entirely lowercase.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Thanks. Okay, Jesus and Mo. Who's read it or is familiar with it?
I've never heard of that comic.
Exactly. And you know what we haven't? Because, I mean, content aside, it's not that popular of a comic. But the guy, I think it's written by a guy. I hate to it. The author, the artist of Jesus and Mo, told his fans to go and post it on here. And so it made the running.
Nice.
That's Jesus and Muhammad.
Yeah, it's Jesus and Muhammad.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really
I'd hate to be their host.
Declared.
Oh, boy.
I think we should all vote for Jesus and Muhammad.
Oh, jeez.
Just to further mess with this system.
But that is the overall best. They also have the best webcomic category, which features Calamities of Nature, Cyanide and Happiness, Jesus and Mo.
Oh, God.
Navy Calamities. Bean, The New Adventures of Queen Victoria, The Oatmeal.
Navy Bean. Arcade.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that one. I lost my place.
Penny Arcade.
Penny Arcade, Pigborn, Pokeweed, PvP, Schlock Mercenary, XKCD.
You're saying Pigborn wrong. You're saying Pigborn is what you're saying. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Pigborn.
I'll get there. This is what we got for recording on a Sunday morning. And then best print comic strip, Baby Blues, Big Nate, Rooster, Rocket, Space Guy. I like that one on name alone.
Space Guy.
And even best animated feature film, the whole thing with the ability for anyone to go and vote. So, you guys, what do you think? Best webcomic, thoughts?
It won't increase their traffic to be on
that
list.
Out of this list?
Yeah, it will not increase their traffic, especially when there aren't links to any of these comics on this list.
Oh, that's kind of dumb, you know?
Yeah.
And that about this.
XKCD is like the only comic out of this I read and like.
Well, I read the
and I don't think it deserves it.
All right.
It's complicated.
Kind of dumb of them not to link the webcomics. That's kind of the only point of getting their names on the list is right. To get a link.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but even if I was on this list, if it's worthy of like anything to be like, attention universe, I won the Riffy Award. No?
Well, they're trying anyway.
Yeah,
I'll give the Washington Post that, but we got to go.
We do have to go. I'm hearing the music in my head. It's just me, isn't it? I am hearing the music, so it is time for us to get going. But this has been yet another episode of the Webcomic Beacon. Again, we have had with us today, of course, thanks to Festworks.
Yo.
Mark Savory.
Well, hello there. I mean, goodbye.
Alex Eberling.
Later, dudes.
And Jamie Noguchi.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Absolutely.
Fast can't pull off, yo.
Very profound.
So thanks once again to Eric of Excern. Thanks to everyone for coming to the chat room. Thanks to the Webcomic Beacon and everyone over there. Go and check out the rest of the podcast available on the site and in the feed. And thanks to all of you for listening. I've been Roscott from the system at systemcomic.com. Peanut butter and jelly, everybody.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.